Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Well, somewhat sadly, we're very near the end of our life study of Genesis, and I can't believe we've come this far. I'm sure glad that Francis Ball has joined us again for another one of these outstanding messages again on Joseph today. Francis, welcome back.
Thank you very much, and I too am a little disappointed we're coming to the end of such a glorious life study of the book of Genesis.
It has been something, Francis. Today we have another program dealing with the way that Joseph elected to reveal himself to his 11 brothers. As Witness Lee begins today, he once again is going to mention that with Joseph we do have these two lines, the line of the type and the line of life. What does he mean by these two lines?
The line of the type is concerning Joseph as a type of Christ, especially in the way of his dealing with his brothers. This line is concerning Christ dealing with Israel as his brothers. So you see a type here of Christ as seen in Joseph when his brothers came to him. If you read the whole story again, you realize that so many things happened to Joseph that were real detailed pictures of Christ. Joseph's brothers, they didn't believe him when he told them his dream. And they mistreated him. They even put him in a place of death. They sold him. And they didn't recognize him when they saw him again. Yet, they were loved by him. They were fed by him. They were taken care of by him and tested by him. All of these treatments were the way also that Israel has treated the Lord Jesus and how the Lord Jesus has treated and is still treating Israel. Even today, we can say that Israel is under the testing of the Lord Jesus, like Joseph's brothers were under his testing. This is a very clear picture in the line of the type, Joseph as a type of Christ. And then as to the line of life, this is more related to you and to me. This has more to do with the experiences of Joseph that are very much discernible in our own experiences.
Thank you, Francis. This has been a wonderful unveiling, and we have today's message and two more on this same line to see Joseph in these two aspects. Let's join Witness Lee for today's life study.
This morning, we will still be with Joseph to get into the record of such a person. We must remember the two lines, the line of the type and the line of life. In the line of the type, Joseph was a very perfect type of Christ. You could see at the end time, Christ is now testing this ignorant remnant of Israel. I fully realize what is happening there in the Middle East today is, listen, Christ testing. You have to believe what is going on there is today's Joseph testing his brothers. Surely I don't have that much patience as Joseph did. If I were Joseph, if I am Jesus Christ today, I would right away tell the whole world, this is my brother. But, listen, Joseph was there dealing with his brothers with very much patience. The brothers were ignorant. Only one knew. That was Joseph. See, no one knew what he was doing. Today, the situation is the same. Only the Lord Jesus knows what is going on. Not the White House, not the UN, not anyone else. Only He knows. He knows that He is now testing His brothers. He is giving them a hard time, not with a bad intention, but with the best intention. Not too long from today, Christ will make an open recognition of Israel. He will do it by coming down from the heavens to the earth. The Savior out of Zion will come to the land of Israel, recognizing that is His nation. Now, we come to the Lion of Life. No doubt I love the Lion of the type, but to me, the Lion of Life is more practical. The Lion of Type concerns Israel so much, but the Lion of Life concerning me and you. I pointed out the dumbness, the blindness of Joseph's brothers. I still wouldn't believe that they could not recognize Joseph. Too many indications. It is quite interesting to see the way Joseph set up the tables, indicated that he was a Hebrew. Now, I would ask you, what way Joseph ate by that time? No doubt, the way he ate was a Hebrew way. Don't you believe Joseph did this with a very good purpose? Inducing them, even inciting them to recognize him. But they didn't. They hated that dream. And because of that dream, they sold Joseph. I don't think the memory was that poor. Shouldn't they be reminded while they were bowing down? What are we doing? 11, no? 11, bowing down, one standing. What is this? Isn't this the fulfillment of that dream?
Francis, before we consider the Lion of Life, we have 11 brothers bowing down to the One, a complete fulfillment of the dream of Joseph's youth. Isn't this a striking portrayal of Christ dealing with Israel in their ignorance?
I'm really amazed at this kind of insight into this type, because Joseph's dreams were really unbelievable to his brothers. And when they really came to pass, some years later, more than 20 years later, they didn't recognize at all what they were doing, the fulfillment of what Joseph had dreamed and what he had told them of his dream. And this is very much like the situation with the Lord Jesus. Israel still does not believe, still does not recognize. And even Joseph gave so many indications to them, to his brothers, why they should have recognized who he was, but they missed him. In their blindness, in their ignorance, in their unbelief, they missed identifying this man who was a ruler in Egypt now as their very brother whom they had sold years and years before. But there were so many occasions that Joseph used in a very wise and patient way to make himself known to them. If they would been alert, if they had been responsive, if they had just paid attention and not been so occupied just with themselves, they would surely have been able to recognize that this must be Joseph. But they didn't. And even today, Israel is under a similar kind of testing that Joseph put his brothers under. And Israel is under the dealings of their Joseph, which is Christ, and our Joseph, which is Christ. But while he's dealing with them, they don't know what's going on. They don't realize that this is Christ dealing with them. Even the United Nations doesn't realize. Even the United States doesn't realize what is really happening with Israel. in these days when so much advice is given to Israel about how they should give in and how they should try to give up land that they have, this has been going on now for a number of years, a long time. But this is the Lord's dealing to make himself known to his people, Israel. And one day he will manifest himself and recognize Israel as his nation. One day he will come from the heavens, and he will come from Zion, and he will make known that Israel is his people.
Thank you, Francis. Let's rejoin Witness Lee for more of our life study.
No wonder that Joseph was compelled to take another step. He still couldn't recognize them because the lesson he gave them was not completed yet. Somewhat, I believe, the Lord told him, don't recognize them right now. You need to give them another test. Anyhow, after this last test, you could see at least one among them was repent. Judah, the way he talked to Joseph shows that at least one among the brothers learned how to take care of their father and how to take care of their younger brother. I tell you, these two points touch Joseph so much. By reading such a story, you have to see the patience here. And you have to see the wisdom here. You know, who has the most patience, the most wisdom? The matured people. The more you get matured, the more you have patience. Joseph was not too old, just about 40 years of age, yet his spiritual life was matured. He was matured in the spiritual life, so he did have the patience. And he did have the wisdom. He was not directed by his desire. He was not directed by his emotion. He was altogether under the direction of his patience and wisdom. Then the time came, the right time came, for him to recognize them. Here's the point. You can see all his emotion burst out. You shouldn't consider that he was a piece of wood. No emotion. He was full of emotion. Look at the way he wept. To this point, he just couldn't refrain himself from his weeping. So he cried out and caused all his servants to get away from him. And he burst out in his emotion. This shows he was very emotional. Don't you believe?
Sure.
He was very emotional.
Amen.
Okay, as he was so emotional, how could he manage himself not to express his emotion for at least about 9 months maybe? This is a strong sign that he was fully mature. Joseph can be such a ruler because he was mature. He can rule over himself, so he can rule over the whole earth. I don't like just to tell you the story of Joseph. My burden is that we all have to see what kind of life Joseph lived. He lived a life with all his temper, disposition, emotion, dislikes, or lacks, intention, desire, under the control of what? Under the control of God's leading.
Francis, let's examine something here for a few minutes. What a statement this was by Witness Lee, that Joseph can rule over himself so he can rule over the whole earth. Say something more about what our experience should be of this ruling life.
Well, I believe it's a rare thing to find a believer of Christ who is mature enough to rule over himself. That is, to control his emotions, to control his tears, to control his laughter, his anger, or his joy, to such an extent as Joseph did. Surely Joseph must have been very excited when the real fulfillment of his dream was right before his eyes. His 11 brothers were there bowing before him, just as he had dreamed. But he did not jump for joy. He did not run to hug his brothers, but he recognized that they needed some lessons from him for their benefit, and he was able to control himself to such an extent because of his maturity in life. We have to realize and remember that Joseph is the aspect of Jacob's life that is the reigning aspect, when he had reached the maturity of life so he could reign not only over himself, but also he had been brought to the place where he was in control of the whole then known world, because he was the one in control of the food for all the hungry people. But this is very, very much the same situation that Christ is in. But whether or not we are matured in life enough to reign, we need to really realize that to reign in life, we need the Lord's dealings with us, just like he dealt with Jacob, to transform us so that we can reach the stage in our life where we will be able to reign with Christ and to reign in a way to bring others into the blessings and the supply of Christ.
Francis, as believers, we know this is the Lord's promise to us, that we would be co-kings with him. But we won't be there until we are fully qualified to be in that throne with him, will we?
That's right. That's the whole lesson we learn through all of these men in the book of Genesis. Abraham is a picture of the life of faith. Isaac is a picture of our life of enjoying Christ. And Jacob is a picture of the transforming experience that brings us to be like Joseph in reigning in life. But we don't get there just by believing initially. We get there by a life of faith that enjoys Christ and that goes through the transforming experiences. Then we can reign with Christ. And we'll also be able to reign over ourselves.
Thank you, Francis. Let's rejoin Witness Lee for the conclusion of our life study today on the reigning life that we see in Joseph.
Now you can see the coming out of these recognition was altogether too excellent. Altogether too excellent. And in this kind of atmosphere, it was easy for him to forgive all his brothers. Even for me to use the word forgive is a little too much. I do believe within Joseph there was not such a thought of forgiving. No, he didn't have such a thought. He didn't have. Rather, he had the full understanding that it was not his brother who sent him there. It was the sovereign God. It was God's sovereignty that sent him to Egypt. You see, I do believe within him there was not such a thought of forgetting or forgiving. No, not such a thought. It was God's sovereignty that he was there in Egypt to fulfill God's purpose. So spontaneously, he would receive them. Not only forgive them, he would receive them. He just embraced them to take them in, because he fully realized that was altogether a matter of the accomplishment of God's purpose. It is so wonderful. I do believe, brothers, when we would be under the control of the material life. In patience and in wisdom, I tell you, we will be just like this. We will not blame anyone. We will not condemn anyone. Even we would be more than willing to accept everyone. You see, we will have a broadened heart to embrace all the weaker ones, even the ones who actually offended us. You see, but in our registration, in our memory, there was not any kind of offending. Why? Because we don't consider that way. Rather, we considered everything happened under God's sovereignty. And we would say everything was fine because everything was under God's sovereignty for our good. And everything was under God's sovereignty for His purpose. And everything was under God's sovereignty for others' edification. I do believe if we would bring these into our fellowship and into our prayer, we will get the nourishment and we will get the admonition, we will get the help, and we will get some direction how to behave ourselves all the time under all kinds of circumstances.
Well, Francis, once again, this is really insightful. The story of Joseph is often told as an example of forgiveness, but there is something far deeper here than just a nice story about forgiveness. Joseph, in the maturity of life, was able to view things according to God's sovereignty. Say something more about this deeper aspect, Francis.
This really is a deep aspect that can only be really recognized as we grow in life. We do want to learn to live according to God. But for us to do this, we need another view than just our human view. Our way of looking at things many times draws out criticism of others and draws out disappointment in all of our failures and all of our experiences. But what Joseph learned in maturing in life, he learned that God is sovereign, that God has a purpose, God has a goal, God has an intention. It's not just that God put people on earth to see them get lost, to save them again and bring them away somewhere to heaven or something. No, God has a definite purpose, and all of His actions toward us and all His dealings with us is that we may recognize that He is sovereign and we can enjoy Him through all of these kind of experiences with a view to His reaching His goal of building up the body of Christ so that He might ultimately consummate the New Jerusalem, which is the mutual dwelling place of God with man. Now, if we could just learn, like Joseph learned, that he was there because of God's sovereignty. He didn't blame his brothers. It wasn't just a matter of forgiveness. He didn't blame his brothers. He recognized that what they had done was according to God's sovereign plan, to bring him into a position where he could be a supply to the whole earth in a time of famine. The Lord Jesus has dealt with us so that we may be brought to the place of recognizing that what transpires in our life is according to God's sovereignty. All things work together for good to those who love God, who are the called according to His purpose. May we know His purpose and trust in His sovereignty.
Francis, I enjoyed again today your fellowship, and I enjoyed our being here together under this wonderful ministry. I look forward to your next visit.
Thank you very much. I look forward to being back.
For Francis Ball, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you for listening today.